It's HPR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence with a very special remembrance today of blues legend John Mayall, whose family announced the multi-instrumentalist had passed away last week at the age of 90 at home in California. It's hard to overstate his influence on some remarkable careers via the band The Blues Breakers. Take a look at the emotional video Eric Clapton uploaded after his passing as just one potent example. We're going to be honoring John ourselves and revisit five times that he was a guest, and do it chronologically too, starting 21 years ago in January 2003 with a much younger yours truly and John Mayall.
As a band leader, what is it about the way that you work with other musicians that draws the talent that you get?
Well, I don't know. It's just, it seemed to have come with the territory right from the beginning. You know, I just feel very comfortable leading bands. It never came across my mind to be in another band. Traditionally, I think blues singers are usually the leaders. It's also something that I suppose comes from my background of listening to not just blues, but a lot of jazz too. People like Art Blakey and Duke Ellington and Count Basie and people like that have always been known to put their own stamp on their music, at the same time featuring players who have made their own names.
And have you been to Hawaii before?
Oh, yeah. The first time I was over there was the HIC Stadium, the arena, whatever.
Yeah.
It was 1971 or something like that.
Wow.
Might have been 1970. Man. Cheech and Chong opened up for us. Shows you how far back that was.
And courtesy of Steve the Mystery Emailer, we know it was February of 1972. John was here with Cheech and Chong. He debuted in August of 69 at the arena, opening for Blood, Sweat, and Tears. As we continue our interview flashback, our next chat with John Mayall was later in January 2003, arriving in Honolulu fresh from a rather special show on Maui.
Hi, Dave. Good to be back.
How did the Maui show go?
It was excellent. Had a really good crowd, and Mick Fleetwood came and sat in with us at the encore, and that was a great thrill. I haven't played with him for quite a while live anyway, but, you know, all in all, it was a wonderful show.
Any other celebrities of note that showed up at the Maui show?
Yeah, well, Stevie Nicks was there too, but she didn't sing. She came to listen.
She came to rock.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll let you go with one final question here. You are a Korean War vet, yes?
Technically, yes. But, you know, I was in Korea during the war, yeah.
What was your role then?
I didn't do any fighting. I just made damn sure that I was the best typist around and, got a job in the office.
For the British Army?
Yeah, with the British Army, yeah.
In 2010, John Mayall returned to Hawaii. And before the tour, we had another conversation where we learned about his relationship with one of the most famous blues breakers.
How did you first get to know Eric Clapton?
It was very, very casual. You know, when Eric came into my band, he just left the Yardbirds because he didn't like the direction they were heading in musically, and he just was available. And I'd heard the B-side of the Yardbirds records, which was all Eric, and his guitar instrumental. That clinched it for me, and it just was the right time. He was available. I made him the offer, and he didn't refuse.
There's something that you have that not a lot of people have. I was hoping you would share with us a bit about the OBE, the Order of the British Empire. What does it mean to you?
Well, it was a big surprise to me. It's in England, it's considered a great honor. So I was very, very flattered that out of nowhere, I was nominated for that and had to go to Buckingham Palace to receive it, which was pretty spectacular. But, for a person who's never had a Grammy, I think that most people who've had Grammys have never had an OBE. So, whatever. It's a great honor, and I'm very proud of it.
You described the event at Buckingham as spectacular. Wait, describe the presentation. What happened exactly?
Well, if you grow up in England, you only ever see Buckingham Palace from behind the gates. So this was quite phenomenal to actually go inside there and see what was inside, you know. So it's a very, very elaborate, and it's a castle.
And who was it who gave you the honor?
I guess it's the British government.
So, I mean, the Queen didn't stand there and hand it to you?
Oh, no, she was in Holland that day, so it was Prince Charles.
Wow, so Prince Charles gave it to you?
Yeah. You get the royal handshake. Royal handshake, the medal, and off you go.
John Mayall's long list of important associates during the 1960s in his Blues Breakers band was a part of a fun chat we got to have before one of his last swings through town in the fall of 2016.
In that time, you begin to have almost like a rotating group of guys who would go on to be quite influential on their own. One of them, actually, is now a Honolulu resident, John McVie.
John McVie was basically the first bass player that I had in my band on a permanent basis. I think there was another bass player who used to work with Cyril Davis, and he wasn't available, but he recommended somebody who was just learning the bass. So he turned me on to John McVie. I think John was still at school, he was very young, and I had to get his parents' permission to, you know, have him go on the road with us. I do remember that I had to convince his father and mother that he'd be taken care of and he was in good hands. All the loving is loving.
We certainly were in good hands when we spent time with John in November 2016, when he did his second last tour of Hawaii. And he took us back to the remarkable times when he perhaps got closest to his own musical heroes.
The early days of your career when you were backing some of these huge blues legends, when they were making their first tours of the UK, guys like John Lee Hooker, Sonny Boy Williams, and Freddie King. What comes to mind when you think back to maybe the first time you realized you were going to get a chance to do this? I guess that would have been John Lee Hooker.
Well, yeah, John Lee Hooker was the first one. So, you know, because he was brought over for the first club tour by the Gunnell agency, who was the same agency who ran me. So, you know, I was the obvious choice to be his backing band. And that led to, you know, various other American blues artists coming over to the UK. And, you know, we did a few with Sonny Boy Williamson and T-Bone Walker. We did a whole month with him. So it was very exciting times.
John Lee would continue to be someone you'd know, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he traveled around the whole country in the van.
Freddie King, what was the experience like?
I sat in with him quite a few times, and of course he was one of my heroes, and you know, we got along great.
Bill Graham, I was looking at some of the incredible posters that feature your name, so many different lineups. I've got a couple highlights here, but when you hear the name Bill Graham, what's a story that comes to mind of your experiences with him?
Well, Bill Graham was the one who really put a lot of you know, rock and roll on the map for the general public, and did it in a very respectful and very dynamic way. You know, he'd had all the best people design posters, and you know, he was just a magnet. Everybody wanted to work for him, so he was a very important figure.
You're on some really cool ones. Some of the ones are Fillmore and Winterland with Jimi Hendrix and Albert King on the same bill.
Yeah, that was Jimmy's first appearance in Northern California, and of course we'd worked with Albert King before.
Jimmy, was that your only gig that you guys shared the stage?
No, we played together a lot in England, you know, long before he came up and for his American touring.
Bo Diddley, Muddy Waters, and yourself all at Winterland on the same concert.
Yeah, I remember that's the only time I met Muddy face-to-face, you know, so that was an exciting bill.
And exciting for you on a personal note, I would imagine, as a blues fan.
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, Otis Spann was always one of my greatest favorites, so, you know, I got to meet him as well.
And your final question, are there any other artists that you really, you've gotten to play with so many people, share the bill with so many others, record with many people who looked up to you as a hero? Is there anyone that you still desire to maybe do a collaboration with, something that's unfinished business, sort of?
It seems to me that I've done work with just about everybody that's on the planet.
It's the great John Mayall here in Honolulu, and thank you so much for being so generous and giving us a little bit of your time.
Yeah, it's all a bit of a rush these days, isn't it, when you're on the road? But anyway, I'm glad we did it too.